in your face.
As hard as I try, I can't get you off my mind. I can't fight it, can't deny it. I think I'm addicted to you.
World radio premiere there of Addicted to You by Paul Hetherington. Of course, Paul joins us in the studio. Paul, love that track. Very stock Aitken and Waterman sounding almost.
Yeah, thank you so much. I often get those comparisons in my music. I also got a LaBouche comparison as well.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
You're going gangbusters in the UK and Europe. You know, they love your tracks. And I hear that's going out to DJs this weekend in London.
My promoter and I, we're sending the track out to DJs in the UK this weekend, and we're sending out some remixes as well. And there's going to be like a whole remix EP coming out soon for this track as well. So, very exciting. So
tell us the backstory to the recording of this track, Addicted to You.
Well, funnily enough, I actually had this song in the vault for like the past couple of years, but haven't just really gotten around to finishing it until sort of recently. And I thought, oh, may as well, because I wanted to get it finished, I kept putting it off because of other releases and things like that. But I thought, no, we need to get this done. And just like what the song's actually about is actually just inspired by like previous experiences where, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people can relate to this, where we just sort of started dating or seeing someone and just started falling for them or idealizing them or projecting like an ideal of who we want them to be to us like a little bit too quickly. And I'm sure we all had those sort of experiences and whatnot. And it's just sort of like capturing that feeling, just putting it to like a sort of like a 90s-ish dancey track, which has sort of become my little trademark so far. So yeah.
Tell us about what else is in the vault.
Ooh, you're going to have to wait and see. I might be getting out another single later on this year, but you'll just have to wait and see for that because I don't want to reveal stuff like too quickly, now do I?
Absolutely. Now, your last track, Cruel, was a Seventh Heaven remix as well. Have you kept in touch with them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've worked with Seventh Heaven like over the past couple of years, so of course I still do keep in touch, and there will be some potential collaborations in the future, but I just have to have the right song for them. But yeah, like we had a really good working relationship over the past couple of years. They've been very supportive over my songs, my previous projects in particular. So that is a working relationship I still have with them. So yeah, I'm very lucky to get to know them and just to have them in my corner. So yeah.
What is your fan base like in Melbourne? Because my sense is your stuff's bigger in Europe and the UK than what it is here.
Yeah, and because I think the reason for that is that over in the UK, the Europe and the US in particular, there's more of a scene for what I'm doing in terms of like dance music and sort of stuff. And that's sort of why it's like resonated with like a lot of with DJs and dance aficionados like over there, like and I think, I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but my previous track, previous single, Cruel, actually reached number 7 on the UK club chart. So that's been really amazing to have that support. And also, like, the remixes in particular, the Mota Blanca remix of Cruel, actually got support from, I'm not sure if you know her or not, Tracy Young. She's actually Madonna and Cyndi Lauper's personal DJ.
Wow.
So that's crazy.
Yeah, and that just proves the point. There's so many great artists here locally on the queer scene, especially in Melbourne, that are getting all of this momentum overseas, and yet the industry here is into Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like I could go on and on about that, but I think that's a conversation for another time. But yeah, we don't really seem to have the support over here and especially the infrastructure, especially in the indie scene, because it's really more highlighted towards like DJs and bands more than, you know, people are doing pop and dance music. And that's why I guess like quite a few indie Aussie artists are sort of angling towards scenes overseas where they'll probably be more likely to be seen and heard over here. So that's like a whole thing. But yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you say you could go on and on about it, and I'm not surprised because it really is a common theme that I encounter with local queer artists who are all doing amazing stuff, and yeah, there's not the industry support here, even from the local clubs.
Yeah, I guess, like, as you probably know, like, tall poppy syndrome is very prevalent in our culture. And I've actually you know, been in contact with some, like, you know, queer artists and indie artists, like, over here in Australia. Don't want to mention names or anything, but it's just like, hey, we like your music, then we should work together and all that. And then they just, like, flake out and they lose touch with me and whatever. So it's just like, oh, okay, like, that's a bit. But it is what it is at the end of the day, like, whatever they got going on has nothing to do with me, and I just sort of just, like, forge ahead regardless. And that's when I found my audience, like, overseas, where I had people, like, messaging me, like, really excited, like, over the song in particular, and got some really good early feedback regarding Addicted to You before it was released as well. So that's, like, really exciting. But yeah,
I am going to pivot back on myself, though, and just acknowledge you do have a following here. It's not that you don't have the fans. You do. I mean, I've seen them rally around you on social media, and I'm not surprised because your music is so gay friendly.
I mean, as a gay artist myself, that kind of has to be, and I just want to keep things, like, light and fun and, like, perfect for the dance floors. So yeah.
Your voice is so clear. Tell us how you keep your voice in such great shape.
I guess, like, I think the biggest thing as well is that I think some people very near and dear to me know this already, but I actually don't drink alcohol, and I think that's so I've been sober for about 4 years now, and I think that's probably a huge part of it, because I notice, like, my voice is just getting a bit stronger over the past, like, few years, and of course, like, a lot more clear, so just, like, staying away from that and you know, ginger herbal teas and just staying well hydrated. And of course, like, you know, keeping practicing, like, as you do with any muscle, we just have to, like, keep working at it. Like, yeah.
So what's your routine before you record a new song? What do you kind of go through with your vocals to kind of get yourself physically to do that recording of that big single?
Yeah, so basically just what I do is I just do, like, I don't know, like, 10 or 20 minutes worth of vocal warm-ups just to get my voice and my tone just very clear and just have, like, a little bit more control over that. And then I just, like, you know, brew a pot of tea and just go in.
That's just so organic. But that's what you should do, right?
Everyone has their own systems. Like, so I know some people use, like, vocal lozenges, but I've tried those, but those really haven't really done much for me. I know some people don't even warm up at all, which I probably wouldn't recommend. But, I mean, what works for you at the end of the day. So everyone has their own system. Yeah.
What number take on Addicted to You was the one where you thought, yep, that's it?
Okay, so just to give you a bit more insight into how I basically go over my tracks is that I basically take the best bits from, like, quite a few takes and then just stitch them together to create, like, a sort of, like, a perfect take, and that's a process which is known as comping. So usually what I do is I record about 6 to 8 takes, like lead vocals, for verse, chorus, what have you, and of course, like, and then harmonies, ad-libs, like, come later. So, and that's just to give it, like, a bit more, give the vocals a bit more oomph, like, a bit more presence, a bit more effect, a bit more build. So yeah.
And where did you record Addicted to You?
Okay, so I actually have my own home studio set up in my apartment. So I record and engineer all the vocals myself, which is really beneficial, especially from a financial standpoint, because I don't have to pay for studio time. But also considering that I work with producers, like, over in the UK, I don't have to wait for, like, an engineer to give the files back to me. I can just, like, record. So, for example, like, I'm with Cruel, I recorded the vocals and then I sent them across to my producer, John from Seventh Heaven, the next night. So that's how quickly I can get things across and how quickly we can get things done. So,
wow. But no one else did production on Addicted to You. That was all you.
Yep. So I do produce my own tracks. So Seventh Heaven produced my last single, Cruel, but I produced this one myself. So
that must really give you so much more autonomy. Apart from the fact you save all that money, that creative control is just wonderful.
Of course, like, don't get me wrong, I love working with other producers, but there's just a certain sense of, like, control over my vision when you produce stuff yourself and you know how to. And I was sort of floating the idea to take it to other producers. And that's sort of why I sat on this track a little bit for so long. And then I was like, nah, this is good the way it is. Let's just keep it the way it is and then just, like, put it out. And, yeah.
Tell us about your DJ networks overseas, because you've got quite a pipeline, right?
Yeah, I do have a few contacts in the UK and US to sort of get everything out there. So, yeah, and that's how I, like, sort of amassed these contacts, like, over the years. So, I got a couple of contacts, and like I said, in the UK and the US. So I got my promoter, Mark, who's also a really good Mark Schneider, who's also a good producer, and he's part of Love Foundation UK, and that they're doing really well in the UK as well. So shout out to Mark, love you to bits. And they recently worked with Wigfield, big 90s act. They recently done remixes for Soft Cell and Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and they've actually also remix Addicted to You, which is going to be going out to DJs across the UK this weekend, and it's going to be coming out later as part of a bigger package. Will be coming out soon as well.
But it's available now, right? People can hear it now, like today's release day.
Yep, so people can hear the original mix now, and there's going to be a remix EP probably coming out around, I know, September, October. And as I mentioned before, there's other remix from Love Foundation UK, and also there's going to be a remix from Until Dawn, who remixed Danny Minogue and Ava Max and Pink, and their remix of this track is absolutely bonkers.
Wow, tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much, but you'll have to hear it when it comes out.
Wow, so it's going to be a real contrast from the original.
Yeah, definitely. It is definitely going to be very very gay friendly, very very much focused on the dance floors. It's you'll have to hear it when it comes out, along with the other remixes that I got planned for it. So it's going to be like I think there are about 5 remixes going to be released for it. So
that is something that really sets you apart from a lot of artists, is that you release a track, but then you do all the remixes, and they're all really different. That's really a big part of the Paul Hetherington sound and brand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love to have my track, like, remixed by a bunch of different DJs to get their own interpretation of it. So, yeah, and that's been a bit of a trademark for my releases, is that I release the original song first, then I release remixes for the DJs and the clubs later on, because I'm also not just a huge fan of pop music, but also a really huge fan of dance music as well, and also just having that understanding of the dance and club scene as well, which is so integral and so important to my releases.
And that gives your music so much portability. That's why it's played so much in clubs in Europe and the US, because of all those different remixes. You work with those different DJs. Mm-hmm. They have those cultural nuances which they translate the track to.
And there's different remixes for different audiences as well. So, of course, I have, like, some house remixes for Addicted to You. There's also a UK garage remix as well, which is a bit of a different sound for me. So I think what Daniel Bedingfield did for, I think it was Gotta Get Through This was the big hit of his, yeah, like about 20-odd years ago, so that sort of sound.
Can we expect to hear Addicted to You on the dance floors here in Melbourne?
Ooh, that's really a call out to the DJs. So if you hear this, please message me on Instagram and I'll get you sorted. So, because I would absolutely love to hear... I don't really go out to the clubs here in Melbourne as often these days, but certainly would love to hear it when I'm out here in Melbourne. So that would be really cool if that happened.
How do you visually promote your tracks? Do you do teasers on Instagram, or what can we expect to visually, you know, see of Addicted to You?
I actually posted a little teaser last week, like a little visual teaser, just saying, "Oh, here's the track, 1 week to go." And and expect to, like, see more. Of course, there's going to be like a remix EP cover and everything else, so there'll be some visuals that are coming out. And so, yeah, just wait and see.
tell us about your songwriting processes, like the actual writing of the lyrics.
It really varies. So sometimes if I come up with a melody just like on the fly, I'll either record like a voice note and just build on that. But the majority of the time what I do is I just come up with the whole instrumental first and then just write to that.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So how is the writing of Addicted to You different to Cruel?
Well, as you were probably aware, like Cruel was actually a cover track. So I didn't actually write that one, but Addicted to You, the process with that is like I've written like bits of it in my apartment, then just sort of worked on it a little bit on the road as well, and then just sort of came together, just like playing around with melodies and changing a few of the lyrics around, and that's how I got to the finished product. So, and it really depends, like with like how long the process takes. Like I said, I sat on this for 2 years, so I've sort of written the majority of it, came back to it. Sometimes I write songs like, you know, like a day or like an hour even. It really just depends.
Wow, fantastic. Well, you certainly gave a new vocal interpretation to Cruel, to the point that it sounds vocally so different to the original. Mm. Paul Hetherington, congratulations on Addicted to You. It is so wonderful to hear the track. Can't wait to hear the remixes. We're going to play Cruel now. Thanks for joining us on 3CR. Would you like to introduce it?
Yep, hi, this is Paul Hetherington, and you're listening to my song Cruel right here on 3CR. How could you be so cruel to me? And yet he can be so cool about it. Guess the rest is history. Hey, I'll catch you soon, but I doubt it. How could you be so cruel to me?
Paul Hetherington there with the Seventh Heaven remix of Cruel. Lovely to see Paul in the studio. 3CR.